Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
And welcome to the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show here on the Voice of Vachon. We're located on beautiful Vachon Island, Washington. That was the voice of our founder, Brian Brown, who created the Brown Briefly. Brian started the Briefly and brought his high standards of intelligent discussion of current events, laced with humor and empathy, and we just do our best to try and keep up with that tradition. Brian's motto was less is more, more or less, and of course he always offered much, much more. He was such a great guy. It's easy for me to say.
It was your weekend.
Yeah, it was my weekend. Oh my gosh, I tell you, it's a little off here. Our Briefly panel includes our legal consensus builder, former Washington State Assistant Attorney General, two-time Fulbright Scholar, Mr. Craig Bellis.
Good morning. How you doing, everyone? I'm glad to be here.
Thanks. I'm glad you're here. We have our avid defender of justice, mariner, cyclist, and top secret engineer, Mr. Kevin Jones. He's joining us by Zoom. At least we see his name. Is he there?
Hey, and I found the unmute button. Hopefully my audio is coming in 5x5.
It is indeed. We see you and we hear you. Perfect. So our down under aficionado and party animal professor and historian, Bruce Hallman, is off today. He had an appointment in town, had to leave. However, our fairy maven and part-time political playwright and full-time shenanigans coordinator, Amy Dreher.
Hello. Good morning.
Here.
I made it today.
You made it. We missed you last week.
I know. Thank you.
Yeah. You had something big come up, I guess, huh?
Oh, yeah. Vachon household. You never know. You know, with one house, things come up every once in a while.
Yeah.
With six properties and three land trust properties with multiple homes, things come up more than once in a while.
Wow, it's that many.
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, you are
a bountiful plate.
Yeah, it is a bountiful plate.
You are a busy, busy person, for sure. I'm Truman O'Brien. I'm sitting here behind the big red switch of the Gene Bosch Broadcast Studio in beautiful downtown Vachon. Today we have what we euphemistically call a Truman Show. That is that we have no guest, and usually when we have no guest, things get interesting, to say the least.
They got interesting last week. I thought
that was pretty good. I admit. Hey, before we jump into stuff, let's go around the panel and find out what kinds of things you did this week. And Craig, why don't we start with you?
A strawberry festival, but we'll wait on that because I know we're going to talk about that independently.
Oh, yeah, yeah, separately.
The strawberry festival did monopolize a lot of our time, and wonderfully so. You know, aside from working on cars again, I had one of these never-ending brake jobs on the front of my truck. I thought I just needed pads. I got in there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you did.
It wasn't just pads. And I needed a rotor. And then I looked at it and I saw that the calipers were burned. So I needed new calipers.
Oh my gosh!
And then I decided that what I really probably needed were new brake lines because they were deteriorated on the inside.
Oh my gosh!
And finally got all that done and put back together, and it works like it stops like a dream.
Well, good.
Wait, no. This is your what year is your truck?
It's only a 2000 and well, it's a 2011.
So fix or repair daily.
That's right. that's right. Well, this is the first. No, I take it back. Brakes have been an issue on that truck. The other thing is, I get up every morning at about 5 to watch the Tour de France live.
Oh yeah,
I just cannot get enough of those. Drugs or no drugs, the most spectacular elite athletes
physical
I think
specimens
of any sport.
And
they're
I
all
agree.
The size of, you know, jockeys.
Yeah. But solid muscle.
Oh my gosh, these 13% grades that they crank up for, you know, 7 and 8 miles at a full gallop. It's just amazing.
How do they do it? I mean, you know, the acetylcholine builds up in the muscles so much. How in the world do they keep that from fatiguing that muscle to the point.
Well, it where turned into a real science in terms of, I mean, you know, the more cynical amongst us would say it's because of that they're taking something.
Yeah.
But
well, some of them have. But
oh yeah, well, Lance, of course, is most famous for that. Armstrong. Yeah. But the they talk about the science of riding, and it just fascinates me. The length of the crank now is a little bit, you know, shorter, and the and of course all the drafting issues and drafting with a with a motorcycle behind you, how that helps you.
Oh, it pushes you.
Yeah, well, it does. You know, the draft. It, you know, it helps get. And then all the physical stuff, the things that they eat and drink along the way, it just amazes me.
It is incredible. So, Amy.
So, Craig, I have not been following. Is Tade back in the yellow jersey?
Well, yeah, here's a spoiler. He's back in the yellow jersey. But today was a big finish, huge mountain at the very end, and with a finish at the top. And Tade and Jonas were the two number ones. They were 6 minutes back, and they didn't win the race, but they came in literally seconds after the winners, who were you know, people that hadn't won a stage or anything. Wow. So there are still people that are you know, distinguishing themselves. The first Frenchman won.
Well, all right, Kevin, as long as you're in on this this cycling stuff, I know you're a cyclist yourself. So what did you do? I can guess, but
train.
No, I'm talking about today, this week.
Oh, what did I do? Oh, when I was cycling, just to answer some of Craig's questions, train. Weight to body mass or muscle to weight ratio is really key, particularly for climbing. Smaller riders do much better because they have less weight. Like Eric Heiden would always have trouble getting over those climbs.
The big guy.
Oh, yeah. He's huge.
If you ever raced in the Tour, I'm not sure. I think he might have at one point. Certain things like vitamin B actually can help with transfer, you know, energy to muscle. But anyway, to the question you asked, Truman. Last time we chatted, we were in Ganges on Salt Spring Island, a favorite place. Salt Spring Island has twice the area of Vashon and about the same population.
Wow.
And all kinds of craft and home businesses. So it's a great place to visit. But since then, we went around the corner from Ganges and anchored in Long Harbor, which is well named. And then we went to a favorite place, Otter Bay, which is on the north end of it's actually on the north side of North Pender, where we are now, actually. But we've come around the corner, and we're now in Port Browning. In between, we went to Irish Bay on Samuel Island, a privately owned island. So they say they'll shoo you off the land if you go on land. But the highlight was going back out into the Strait of Georgia, just off the toe of Saturna, which is the southern and easternmost Gulf Island. Right off the toe of Saturna are two islands, Cabbage and Tumbo. And Tumbo is open. You can take a hike around the island. Cabbage is currently closed. They apparently have found some indigenous remains just recently. And so they have now decided that, out of respect, they will close that island to visitors until they decide how to protect the indigenous remains that were just recently discovered there.
I'll be darned. So where's the passage where they had the largest non-nuclear explosion ever, where they had to open up the passage? You know where that is?
That's well north of us in Johnstone Strait, out by Campbell River area.
Right.
What's the story there?
There was a shallow spot in this passage.
And two peaks in the middle of the passage.
So in order to get ships through, they had to blast the top off of those peaks that stuck up in, you know. I think it was the largest non-nuclear explosion ever. I don't know, or at least up until that time.
And they had to dig tunnels underneath and pack from below.
Oh, is there video footage of that anywhere?
I doubt it.
It was
way back.
Yeah, way
back.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
Cool.
Hey, you know, one comment about... did you have anything else there, Kevin? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, I'm just looking. The place that you're talking about is Seymour Narrows.
Yes, that's it.
And it lies between Quadra Island and Vancouver Island.
Yep.
Yep. And we have actually been, we've never actually transited that part of Johnstone Strait. We've been in and out of Campbell. Mm-hmm. So we've been right in that area, but never through that little neck, which now is more cleared for transit.
It didn't scare the salmon away.
Oh, no, it's a great.
I fished up there, and holy cow, there's some big and huge herring runs.
Well, I have to tell you, I went up and spent a weekend at Campbell River on a friend of mine's boat, and he and I went out fishing, and we took his dinghy out, and he had a Boston Whaler dinghy, a very small one. And here are these two big lumps on this little this little tiny dinghy out in the middle of the strait.
Oh,
fishing.
You're lucky you didn't end up either in Alaska or in Oregon.
Exactly, with the current. But we were out there all day long, never caught a thing.
We came back in.
Molly was little. You know, she was, I don't know, five or six. Dad, please take me fishing. Please take me fishing. Just what I wanted to do, go back out. But I said, okay, we'll go. What the heck? So we went out there. We hadn't been out there 30 seconds. She dropped her line down, and the line bent double. And I thought, well, you must have snagged the bottom, right? So we started pulling it up. I thought, well, that must have a big chunk of seaweed. And I helped her pull it up. Got about halfway up, and the thing went plang, and I went, no, there's something on there. And as it turns out, we landed it, and it was a ling cod.
Oh.
And
oh.
It was bigger across than the boat.
Wow.
An attractive fish.
Yeah.
Prehistoric.
Beautiful specimen.
Prehistoric looking thing. But Molly was, well, it scared the poop out of her, obviously. But anyway, she was pretty impressed.
I can't believe you were out there in a little dinghy. When I went out there, we had a guide. There were three of us, two and the guide. And I think we had 200 horsepower outboards on the back to keep us steady so we could mooch there, you know, against the tide.
It took them all, didn't it, to do it?
It did.
Yeah. Well, I got one more thing I was going to talk about. Talking about bikes. And that is, you got a whole bunch of folks looking at your car out there, Craig.
I see that. I'm always complimented by that.
I can see that. So one thing about bikes, when I was in the Army in Germany, we had a gentleman from Puerto Rico, and he was an Olympic bicyclist. He was an alternate for the Olympic team. And this guy had one of those little roller things that you can ride your bike on, you know, mm-hmm. And he would get on that thing, and he would ride a course in his mind. And so he would ride for, I don't know, 3 hours, you know, straight. And, you know, just sweat would be pouring off him. But he would just be in a zone. You couldn't talk to him. You couldn't bother him because he was in this zone. But he was an amazing guy. Unbelievable specimen.
I want to know who won the polka dot jersey because that's my favorite.
The King of the Mountain?
Yeah.
King of the Mountain Hill Climb.
What's that?
King of the Mountain Hill Climbers.
Yeah, I can't remember. They've been handing that off back and forth, and I don't know who has it right now. It's, you know, the tour doesn't end until this coming weekend. But, that's been fought over fiercely. I mean, Tade Pogacar had it early on, and he's very close, because he's a heck of a hill climber.
Do they do a King of the Mountain polka dot jersey for Passport to Pain coming right up here?
I don't think so.
I think that winner of the race is the king of the mountain, the number of vertical feet
that we have here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, Amy, we didn't cover
that's
you.
That's a great idea.
I'm advocating for that. I want to see someone walking around Vashon in their polka dot jersey.
I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
Right on.
So how was your week, Amy?
How was my week? And we're holding off on festival. Gosh, it's such an event horizon. Everything's a black hole before that. let's see. Well, you know, we had a very successful Smashburger night at the Eagles on Wednesday before festival. Very successful. Always recommend it. Whatever the teen Wednesday is Smashburger night at the Eagles. And everyone is invited down.
It's the what night?
Smashburger.
No, but teen, what'd you say?
Oh, in the teens. Whenever it's usually I do it, whatever the teen Wednesday is. It's usually like the 15th, that week.
Okay, I got
it. It's like the second or third whenever it happens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But Wednesdays are burger nights at the Eagles. Everyone's welcome down. And Cindy's usually doing some pretty delicious burgers.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin.
So, Amy, what happens when there's two teen Wednesdays?
It's usually the earlier one, but sometimes it's the later one.
You never know.
Yeah, hey, man, it's the Eagles. You know, I do it when I'm up for it.
It's Vashon.
Yeah, exactly.
Had to check.
Well, my week, of course, I went down to Ashland, Oregon. And what happened was that we went down in the spring, which we always do, and saw a number of plays. One of the plays was an August Wilson play called Jitney. And my wife became ill right before the play and said, oh, I can't stay here. And so she didn't get to see it. So I did see it and raved about it, of course, which didn't go over real big. but she said, okay.
You didn't go neener, neener, neener.
Yeah, I did a little bit, yeah. I asked if she knew that neener song. That's what Molly said when she was little. But we went down mainly to see Jitney, and which we did. And we also saw As You Like It, which was a modern version of As You Like It. It was absolute blast. It was so fun. I'm not going to tell you a thing about it, but just know that it was a modern version. It was nice. Hilarious.
Nice.
Of course.
I have yet to get down to Ashland and to see, and I really, really would love to see some plays down there.
It's just the best. Yeah. Three theaters, and each one is unique. And
people don't go down there because they think, oh, I'm not a big Shakespeare fan.
Oh, no.
The very few of the plays are actual Shakespeare plays. Right. And even the Shakespeare plays, as you just pointed out, are adaptations. And
This year, Julius Caesar was an all-woman cast, which was fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Chris Basha, my friend Basha, was talking about that.
It was excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
But we did see Jitney again, and it was just as absolutely fabulous the second time as it was the first time. August Wilson was such an incredibly brilliant, brilliant writer. His dialogues are just over the top. Just great. Anyway, and of course, we always overeat while we're down there because that's all you do is eat and go to plays.
So, ah.
But anyway. Oh, and one last thing. I rented a car, and which I always do. And they gave me a hybrid. Well, I've never driven a hybrid before. And I got in, I pushed the button, and nothing happened. I mean, lights all came on there, but no motor started. And I tried two or three times, put my foot on the brake, hit the button, nothing happened. I mean, the lights came on. But I went back inside, I said, hey, this thing won't start. And they said, mm-hmm. It's a hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
Does it say ready?
Yeah, it doesn't start.
I said, I don't know. Well, I went back out, and of course, you put your foot on the brake, you hit the button, and it says ready. And you put it in gear, and you drive.
Yeah.
All on the battery.
Yeah.
Duh. So now, Kevin, you should be well aware of that now, having a totally electric car, right?
But, you know, it's not like it's super intuitive when you're sitting there. They don't have like the written instructions on the dashboard.
No.
But I can tell you now that the vehicle that I bought does have now, of course, the little panel, which is like a TV screen, right? So it's a screen, and it tells you you do need to step on the brake in order to shift out of park.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, those things, and brake is set, which is kind of weird because it's like not a mechanical brake, it's an electrical brake.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So,
it's mechanical, but it's electrically activated.
It's a yeah, yeah, yeah. There's no brake pedal.
No, you know, no, there wasn't on this one either.
Release it. Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I found it fascinating, and I really liked the car. It was a little Toyota something.
I thought you had a Ford Fusion that was a
no,
hybrid.
No.
Mm-mm, oh, okay.
No,
because
it was all gas.
They made a hybrid.
Yeah, no, it was all gas. All gas. All right, so let's jump in here. We got so today is the 22nd, quite a significant day in that it's National Parents Day, and it is also National Hammock Day.
Ooh.
Have you ever slept in a hammock? Anybody?
Yeah.
It's tough to sleep on your stomach.
Yeah. Or your side, for that matter.
But it's great for your flexibility.
That's right.
Indeed. When I was flying the DC-4 hauling fish many years ago, we stretched hammocks between the two emergency exits. I mean, across the airplane, because it's a cargo airplane, you know, no seats or anything. And someone would have to sleep in those hammocks. And you kind of had to draw straws, and the loser got one of the hammocks. But okay. So July 22nd, birthdays. Someone we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Emma Lazarus, the woman who wrote, she's the American poet who was Give Us Your Tired and Hungry or Tired and Poor. Anyway, the New Colossus. She was the author of that. It's at the base of the Statue of Liberty in New York. Louise Fletcher, who was one someone everyone wanted loved to hate, and that's a
big nurse.
The nurse, yeah, from one overflew over the cuckoo's nest. But gosh, she was great though.
She was scary.
Oh, gosh, she was.
The thing that's scary about her is that I mean I love nurses, but there occasionally are nurses like that.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, she was born in 1934. Of course, she passed away in 22. She was an Academy Award winning actress. Let's see, what else we got here? Oh, Alex Trebek. Alex Trebek was born in 1940. Of course, he died in 2020.
I'm sorry, can you phrase that in the form of a question, Truman?
Exactly. Who died in 2020? Yeah. Canadian American Emmy Award winning game show host, of course. He was on Jeopardy from 1984 to 2020. Nice. That is something, huh? Let's see, 2013, the son of Prince William and Catherine, Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. He was the second in line for the English throne. He was born in London, 2013. Okay, today in history, we've got 1796. Now, this is for you, Craig. Cleveland, Ohio was founded by the General Moses Cleveland. They changed the spelling. His name was C-L-E-A-V-E. Land, and they changed it just to C-L-E-V-E, land. Now, what year did they do that?
To protect the innocent?
I'm not you know why they did? Because it wouldn't fit on a... It wouldn't. The Cleveland
it's
would...
It's funny. One letter made the difference.
Yeah, yeah. It wouldn't fit on a newspaper. I remember reading about it, but the reason they changed it is that it was the name was too long.
Well, the name of the newspaper... Who knows? Here... Who knows the name of the newspaper in Cleveland?
The Cleveland Star. No, I have no idea.
The Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I remember.
So
that.
maybe that's a pretty long name to begin with.
I think that maybe is the reason. It wouldn't fit on the across the banner. So they dropped a letter. Isn't that funny?
There it is.
All right. 1893, Catherine Lee Bates wrote America the Beautiful. You know, I was on a jump seat of a flight, and I can't remember if it was American or what. It wasn't my own airline. And we were flying over Colorado, and the captain got on and told the whole big story of Catherine Lee Bates and writing that she and her sister or cousin or someone worked together, but they wrote America the Beautiful.
You know, every once in a while, a pilot does take a little license with the mic there, which I usually find amusing.
Well, okay, I got a quick story.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So we used to have a little book that somebody put together for us that had each route and had all the scenic things that you could point out to passengers, which we often
nice.
Did.
So, it wasn't flying an airplane for dummies.
Almost. It was almost that.
Quick reference manual.
Exactly. But we were flying up from down over Shasta and Crater Lake. And we hear another pilot on the air traffic control frequency reading this quite long passage about Crater Lake. Mount Mazama, you know, blah, 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 second deepest lake in North America. Anyway, he went on and on and on the air traffic control frequency.
Oh, jeez. They must have loved that.
He obviously had our book because it was, you know, United or somebody. But he read this whole big long thing on the air. And as soon as he finished, air traffic control came on and he said, okay, I know all you guys want to get this guy, but I got to get these out first. And he gave about four instructions to the different airplanes. He said, okay, now have at him. And of course, everybody came on. Hey, nice PA. You know,
yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
We learned
none
a lot
of us could hear ATC.
Exactly. But yeah. Anyway.
Speaking of airplanes, what happened to your airline yesterday?
You know what? I just read about that. They are saying they're not confirming it, but they think it was a cyber attack, and they think it might have been the Dust Dragon or whatever it is from China.
Alaska Airlines, for those of you who don't know, had a real problem with their electronic systems for about
computer
four
system.
8 hours or whatever it was.
Yeah, a total ground stop.
Wow.
Put the whole fleet on the ground.
I think what they did, though, was they turned it off and turned it back on, and it worked perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Just took a little while.
Probably. That's what we used to do with the airplanes, you know. Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding.
Always try that.
I'm kidding. Yeah, go ahead. Kevin, do you have something to say?
I just said always try that power on, power off.
Power on, power off. It works. In 1933, Wiley Post completed the first solo flight around the world. Took him 7 days and 19 hours. And you know, Wiley Post is famous because he crashed in 1935 with Will Rogers on board, and they were both killed. It was up by Point Barrow. And in fact, there's a monument out there south of Point Barrow, or of the town of, I can't tell you what the new name of Barrow is, but anyway, there's a monument out there.
Did Wiley Post have one eye?
He did. He lost an eye, and I can't remember how he lost it, but he wore a patch very often. He was one of the few guys that had an airline transport pilot certificate and only had one eye. He had some kind of special dispensation for that.
He would deal with depth perception by moving his head back and forth.
Back and forth. Yeah. I don't know. Close
I think so. Yeah, that's what people do.
Yeah. Kevin.
So Truman, not a nonstop.
No, it was not a nonstop.
Okay.
Multiple stops.
You'd have to do some refueling, but 7 days. How did he stay awake?
No. 7 days and 19 hours all the way around the world. In 1934, outside Chicago, the Biograph Theater, Public Enemy Number One, John Dillinger was mortally wounded by the FBI.
Mortally wounded.
Yeah, that's a euphemism, if there ever was one. Mm-hmm. Mortally wounded.
Death by misadventure.
No. Yep, that was it. He was shot down. And of course, in 1959, Ed Wood's cult classic Plan 9 from Outer Space. It's often more than called one of the worst films ever made. It premiered, and it starred Gregory Walcott and Bela Lugosi. Believe it or not.
Is it still on Netflix?
I think you could probably still get it on Netflix, yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
Sorry. Yeah. Got a cough here. But anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting.
It is. Yeah. So that was our show today.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's it, folks. All right. So now we're into our talk section, as if we weren't talking before. But let's cover Strawberry.
Now we're going to get entertaining.
Yeah, let's get into Strawberry Festival. So the questions are, of course, what were your favorites? What was your favorite part? What could have been done better? What would you like to see next year? You know, all of those things. So, Craig, how about, I know you emceed the parade without me.
I know. I felt bad about that. I don't know if you listened to any of it at the time or later, because it's
I just saw part of it.
Yeah. We didn't know we were on the air, not on the air, but on the video for the first 15 minutes. We kept asking, when are we going to be on? When are we going to be on? They go, well, you're not on yet. And of course, I thought back, did I use any of the seven words I wasn't supposed to use?
No, you didn't. I watched you.
But we must have looked ridiculous.
You did. I'm sorry, but you did. I was watching going, okay, you can move that camera over to the crowd now or something, it was just trained on you guys.
No, so. We had no idea that we were being videoed at the time, but that's obvious, I hope.
But Jeff did a great job.
Jeff Fletcher, who does Boogie Back to Texas and is one of our board members, filled in for Truman and did a spectacular job.
Oh, good. I'm glad he did.
I mean, not maybe as spectacular as you.
Well, of course not. I mean, what would you expect?
Yeah.
You
know? No, but we had great fun. We emceed the parade. The parade was this, had 40, I think, entrants, basically. Lasted an hour. It was an excellent parade in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I heard that the drill team,
they couldn't come because their leader was unavailable. They could have come. They could have just rolled their carts down, and you know, people would have cheered.
Of course,
the first time in how many years?
I don't know, but they swore that was a one time only.
They'll be back next
year. They will be back next year. But we did have another drill team. We had the Indivisible Drum Corps. Did we not, Kevin?
Indivisible teamed up with Backbone or vice versa, but they were in the parade together. And I wasn't there on the island. I was on another island. But I did get reports. And so the report that I got was of the most liked video on Facebook, 13,000 views, 9,800 reactions, is the Strawberry Parade, Strawberry Festival Parade. So, amen. Yeah, it's big. I haven't looked at the video because I don't always have that much bandwidth.
Which
video? I'm not sure how much of the parade was included, but I'm pretty sure, given where it shows up, it's the portion that included Backbone and the Indivisible Vashon drum corps.
Wow.
It was a visual spectacular.
It was.
Yeah, that entry was intense.
I saw a part of it.
And it was long. It was that was a big group of people.
I didn't realize that they were all homemade drums. I thought, you know, I thought they were real drums. Mm-hmm. No.
Most of them, maybe not all, maybe all of them, are handmade drumsticks.
Oh,
by the way.
Oh, that is.
And if you're interested, you can join the Indivisible Vashon Drum Corps, actually. There's people who are joining up all the time. And we have kits, so you can make your drums. We have stickers you can put on your drums, so you can basically put whatever flavor of the day advice or outrage or whatever you're feeling on your drum. And we've actually now received an invitation from a group in east side of Lake Washington who would like the drum corps to participate in one of their events. So
nice.
So
the sphere of influence expands.
Yeah.
You're going to become infamous.
Yeah.
For sure.
Entertain.
Yeah.
Give
infamous,
the people what they
indivisible.
Want.
Whatever it takes.
That's right. I love it.
I could go on and on about that parade, but I'll leave that up to other people to talk about that some more. I thought it was really something, to say the least. The car parade, which I didn't MC, but I drove in, was we had 90 entries.
Whoa, really?
Yes, it
that's got to be a record.
That is right up there. And we filled the parking space and the grass and everything across from Over Park for hours so people can easily come by and check out some of the beautiful cars that were there.
Craig, how many electric vehicles are showing up in the car parade these days?
Not many.
Yeah, I wouldn't think.
No, people are into, I hesitate to use the expression, ICE. Internal combustion engines.
Yeah. Classic car. Classic car.
That's
parades.
Right.
Yeah. Classic car.
Not
parades.
The other ICE. Yeah. But there are getting, you know, occasionally there will be an electric car, and I encourage people with electric cars. You know, that's the great thing about the car parade and the regular parade is anybody can get in it. You just register and pay a small fee, and at least with the car parade, and you're in. Before I forget it, I wanted to compliment Lynn Ann Polite for the work she did working for the chamber in sort of project managing the Strawberry Festival. Anecdotally, everybody I talked to said that it was one of, if not the best festival they've been to.
Really?
And these are some of these are old timers, that have been around for many decades. You know, there's all this, you know, I wish that everything was the way it was, but that was a really a great job. Mm-hmm. So I give her my round of applause.
Yeah, it was a great festival.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the music, that's another aspect of it that I love. Little Creatures doing their tribute band to
Talking Heads.
There we go. Thank you. I was starting to lose it there. Like us, Talking Heads. And then Bowie Rex, Martin Fevrier, just rocked the crowd. Tremendous. Dusty 45s were there. Although I don't think they ever played that early in the day.
Yeah.
They started at 11:30.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, in the morning. And I think they felt a little odd.
Starting. Yeah, I think
but
so.
But there were some people standing next to me on the berm, and they were about to leave just before they were done. And I go, no, this is not when you want to leave.
Because he hadn't done the trumpet.
No,
the
he hadn't done his flaming trumpet thing yet. And I said, you'll want to see this closing act.
Yeah.
And they were blown away by that. Kimmy Bitter, who Deborah Heesh, one of the people she brought in, she was there. It was great. And then the friends, the people I hadn't seen for a while, and the people I hung out with for a while, and the people I drank too much with. yeah. It was just a great festival.
Oh, good. Amy, how was your experience?
Yeah, it was good. It was, you know, you see everyone you don't see, and you see everyone you do see, and It was pretty good. It was the Vachon household booth was good. We had some good conversations. That is tough, though. I was talking to some of our nonprofit friends about, you know, those booths. It's a lot of talking to folks all weekend, which is really, really good. It's really important. But, you know, kind of trying to keep your booth fresh, because a lot of folks, you know, it's a festival, it's tough, you know, you're face covered in chili dog, and it's like, let me tell you about this crushing social issue. Right, you know, you're like, your hands are dripping with funnel cake grease or whatever, and you're like, did you know, you know, the number of folks on fixed incomes in Vachon, right? It's not so but it was good. It was really good conversations. I also really enjoyed the entertainment. Got to see Trolls Cottage at Sporty's on Friday night, which was great. Really enjoyed Hell's Bells on Sunday, which is the AC/DC cover band.
Oh, yeah.
The ladies AC/DC cover band. That was fun. They rocked it. They absolutely rocked it. Had some pretty good food. I, you know, kind of did the culinary tour of festival. There were some folks that had been there last year, the Filipino deli folks, you know, which was, that was all right. There was a new Thai place. That was all right. The Mexican place.
I heard their Mexican place rocked it.
It had some good stuff. It had, it had some good stuff. It was a little hit and miss. Of course, Rotary Strawberry Shortcakes, always a winner. But the food truck winner at festival. Well, let me just say, I did not get over to Dragon's Head for the cider donut smash burgers, which I heard were phenomenal. Because I spent a lot of time up at Mindset Apothecary, where the Q Shack was, which was amazing barbecue, fantastic barbecue. They had a mac and brisket bowl. They had shrimp tacos that were out of this world. So good.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah, no, it was
he had
by
his own
far.
Float too for the parade.
Did
it was,
he?
Yeah, was handing out some of his barbecue sauce.
Some
really?
Of stuff. Okay, it was. They were good. So I'm hoping, you know, they were up kind of outside. I'm hoping next year they'll come and offer their wares and their amazing, amazing barbecue to festival goers as a whole. But yeah, I thought a fantastic time over festival. It was a really good one.
Well, you know, I heard two things. One, that there was more music than anything else, and so it was kind of out of balance that way. And then the other thing was, you know, it wasn't like it used to be.
Well,
know?
Sure.
But the other thing I heard was Amy Dreher, that because of the almost dying in 2020 for the COVID episode, that you were instrumental in bringing festival back.
Well,
for the next 2 or 3 years, and
well, that's a wonderful lot. Mythology. I love
you it's know, Vachon, you know,
it was, it was, yeah, I know, you know, Lynn Ann in the Chamber actually did a lot in 21. And 22, and then 23 was, you know, kind of that first year it kind of started to, you know, evolve after COVID and come back. Like this year felt like, okay, we are post COVID, you know, we're there, we're full on deal. Yeah. 23, was really good. And then of course in 24, you know, we moved it over to Ober, and I think that was really, really
big. That's a good move.
Public service announcement. I did have some friends who couldn't come to the festival on the island. They live on the island because they have COVID.
Oh, no.
It's still out there.
Yep.
It's still out there. Boy. Yeah. But I think bringing it back to Ober Park, and, you know, I'm always curious, folks, well, there's too much music. Well, what exactly would you like to have happen at a festival?
Exactly.
Other too much music.
I don't quite understand that.
I'm really curious. Like, what is it that you...
Yeah.
What is it?
What I mean, would you
obviously
to
the carnival, which, you know, that conversation is the deadest
thing, though,
of horses.
I had so many parents tell me about how much
there
fun they
so
have with those bungee cords and that all that stuff.
There was
and
so
the big
much
bouncy
for the kids.
Deals. Oh, man.
I did hear that there was much more for kids to do this year.
If your kids couldn't have fun this weekend, I kind of feel like maybe that's not festival's fault.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. There was tons of stimulation. We had kids coming up to our Vachon household booth and talking, you know, doing the trivia questions and
really
trying hard.
I mean, I came to do a trivia question. I failed miserably.
Yeah, we were asking.
Those were
kids,
tough questions,
but
I like the spinning of the wheel that you had there at the household.
It's a game of chance.
Okay, so what was this?
They had a wheel that you spun and a number came up, and then they had a sheet of paper and they asked
get you a question.
Yeah, and the questions were impossible.
They were more conversation starters.
They were. They were very informational. Yeah.
Everybody wanted Tootsie Pop. Yeah.
So, but was it all about Vachon household? Obviously.
Yeah.
And how affordable housing? You know, sort of what's area median income? You know, and how do we use that to, you know, qualify folks for housing?
You're right about the about manning some of those or populating some of those booths, especially the ones that are more serious. Years ago, I was manning the Dove Project, which is a tough subject. And, you know, we'd get into it occasionally, or some guys would come by and they'd start making fun of it. And it was just horrible, you know.
So I had a little fisticuffs out there.
You had to kind of maintain your cool. You know?
Yeah. No, but I think we'll keep focusing. And what I'd like to do next year is kind of have more of a front porch vibe. We'll just sit around in chairs and hand out some iced tea and, you know, make a little fun of it.
Oh, I like it.
With it.
Yeah, that's
have
a good
a little
idea.
Fun with it, because it is intense to have those conversations. But was really glad to see our friends at the Seattle Indian Health Board.
Oh, yeah. Were they here?
They were here.
Oh, good.
They were here. They're moving forward. Had really great conversations with them. You know, if you wander around the vendors, we actually stopped at Renewal by Anderson. I know that gets mocked, Leaf Guard and all that stuff. But, hey, we have some windows we need done. So we got our, you know, $400 off installation.
There you go. Another good windows.
Yeah. So was happy to do that. But, you know, if you take your time with the vendors, it's actually pretty cool. You can fill up some time. So I don't have a lot of patience anymore for the Make Festival Great Again hats and the I wish it was like it was 50 years ago. I wish interest rates and, you know, I wish home prices were like they were 50 years ago. I got a lot of things I want differently as well. But
that's not going to happen.
Big round of applause, to Lynn Ann and the chamber. I thought it was great.
So, Kevin, just to finish this off, have you had any reports back from Indivisible about their experience or
just the people are pretty stoked, you know, that the video of their portion of the parade made a lot of good rounds. Okay. You are hearkening back to some of my participation in the festival. One year we had a booth. The Vashon Vegans got in touch with us and said, "We share climate concerns with you, so let's team up to do a booth." And I thought, okay, that should be interesting, and it was great.
Really?
We were in the parade. We had our banner. We were handing out pinwheels, you know, for like windmills, wind energy. And people were just, if you have a chance to be in the Strawberry Festival parade, you should definitely go for it.
Absolutely. And,
everybody has a chance. Occasionally somebody will be walking down there with their dog. That'll be it. You know?
I remember many years ago, they had the Troy Belt drill team where they had the cultivators, or what do you call those things that, you know, rotary things. And and the person would hold up a vegetable, like a carrot, and they would form the shape of a carrot. And then they had one that was weeds, then all weeds, and then they would just go crazy.
Oh, cool.
You know, all over the road. Anyway. okay. So, hey, you know, a couple of interesting...
Hey, one last thing, Truman. Sure. I did have a chance to, in Port Townsend years ago, attend one of their parades. And their drill team basically was equipped with electric hand drills.
Well, there was the makerspace.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, the Vashon Makerspace had a quote-unquote drill team.
Right.
Drill
there
team.
You go.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Tool library, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so, hey, I just I read something interesting about the, is it Jeju, the airline that lost the 737-800 in South Korea, you know, one where they... They landed
200 plus
up.
People.
Yeah.
Died.
And one of the things they said was that the pilots shut down the wrong engine. They took energy, took damage into one engine, and instead of shutting down that engine, they shut down the good one. And that was the problem. And I just wanted to talk about that just a minute. You know that when you're training in light aircraft, in twin engine light aircraft, they teach you dead leg, dead engine. And what that means is that when you lose an engine, obviously you have to put in a lot of rudder to keep the airplane going straight in a twin engine airplane, because the good engine wants to pull, of course, into the dead engine. And so you're standing on the rudder to keep it going straight. And so the leg that's not working is the engine that's out. So you go dead leg, dead engine. And what you do is you pull back on the throttle. Okay, that didn't change anything. You pull back on the, and it prop airplane. You pull back on the prop. Okay. That feathered the engine. And then you pull back the mixture, which shuts the engine down completely. So in a jet airliner, you do virtually the same thing in that one guy calls right engine and the other guy confirms, yes, that's the right engine, and pulls it back. Or anyway, they go through that process. And that also gets us down to checklist. There are two ways to do checklist, and the airlines do both. The first way is to do what they call a flow, where each pilot has a flow that they go through. They, you know, like you go counterclockwise around the cockpit or whatever it is, and you look at every switch and every light and every gauge in that airplane. You touch every one, and you do that in this pattern. And then once you finish the pattern, then the non-flying pilot, or in this case, if you're on the ground, the first officer, reads the checklist. And you go, yep, 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 I did all of those things. But you go back through that flow. The other way to do it is called a read and do. And on those, what we have, what's called a QRH, which is a quick reference handbook. And any of you saw the movie, was it Sully was the name of the movie? Where Sullenberg put the airplane in the Potomac. Mm-hmm. If you look in that, he pulls out a QRH and actually does it. Of course, he does it. I mean, their checklists are all done so slowly. That's not the way they're done. We do them fast.
Yeah.
But with the QRH, that's a read and do. And so when you have an emergency, you pull out the QRH. So if they lost an engine, they would pull out that QRH and they would say, okay, rabbit flats. You know, they go through the whole thing. So anyway, I don't understand how they shut down the wrong engine is all I'm getting at. It's fine to absolutely.
Plus, it's virtually impossible to do it accidentally on that plane.
Well, no, that's a different story.
You're thinking of the
fuel switches.
You're right, fuel switch. Yeah. Yep.
And on that one, you're right. It's almost impossible to do. They think that the captain shut them down intentionally. They don't know why.
The wrong person was flying on that plane.
Yeah, the first officer was flying at that time.
Well, the wrong person might have been a passenger on that plane.
Yeah.
Just to get a little, you know, just have a little bit of QAnon with it.
Mm-hmm. Could be. Mm-hmm. Don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I find that interesting. Let's see, what else have we got? Okay, hey, Craig, this one's for you. On the Trump suing Harvard. And there's a new judge's ruling on that. What do you know?
Well, there isn't. That ruling isn't out yet, but they have they've made cross motions for summary judgment. In other words, both sides, Harvard and the Department of Justice, wants a ruling, and they say that it can be made without having a trial because of there are undisputed facts. And under these undisputed facts, you should rule in our favor. And the other side says you should rule in our favor.
So
based
the judge,
on the law.
So the judge makes the ruling rather than the
That's correct.
Jury.
That's correct. And just real briefly, the feds are suing Harvard for violation of civil rights.
Correct.
Which is, in my opinion, sort of the opposite of wrinkly. It's irony. It's a great irony that the Department of Justice now is suing Harvard for a violation of civil rights. They're saying that their policies are anti-Semitic and their practices are anti-Semitic. So they imposed upon them a list of requirements on Harvard, a checklist of various things that they're supposed to do, which includes the government telling them who they can admit as students, who their professors are supposed to be, loyalty oaths that they have to sign, and that sort of thing. And of course, Harvard is coming back and go, that violates our First Amendment rights to academic freedom. And almost as importantly, as we've seen before with our federal government lately, that there was no due process. There was never a hearing to determine whether or not
we were doing
any of these things. You just decided you were going to cut off all of our grants, $2 billion worth of grants used to research and eliminate
research.
Alzheimer's and everything. And the other irony is Harvard
was basically the seat of where the founders of the United States came from.
Yeah. Amazing. And it's a private institution, is it not?
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. No, the private institution. It takes a lot of government money.
Well.
Yeah. Kevin?
You know, I read an opinion piece, several actually, about the case that we're talking about here. And the end of the piece had somebody's opinion. It says, instead of focusing on anti-Semitism, which not to say that that is something that shouldn't be addressed, we also need to think about the anti-Americanism that is being exhibited in our current administration. And I thought that was a pretty well-placed remark.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. What else have I got? Oh, yeah, Stephen Colbert, cancellation. Oh, it's strictly economic, right?
Right. Well, the thing that comes to mind, let me think. There's a legal term. I think there's an abbreviation for it.
BS. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I know that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's creeping in.
That's creeping in little by little. You know, that's cowardice is what that is on the part of CBS to think that they can.
Well, Paramount, the parent company.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to think that they that it'll stop there.
Right.
With how much is it? I can't remember how many millions of dollars they agreed to pay.
$16 million.
Yeah.
$16 million. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Can you imagine? Did you see the eloquent response that Stephen Colbert had?
No.
Where he told Trump to do something to himself, mm-hmm. and he said it. In eloquent, it was a thing, a banner came below him that said eloquent something, I don't know.
But I'd be curious to see what CBS puts in that time slot now.
Well.
So isn't that one of the words that we can't say on the radio?
One of the, that is Stephen definitely Cooper? One of the seven words.
You have to check the reference on that. Okay.
Use your imagination.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I have an issue that is not on your list.
Oh, please.
It's Epstein.
Oh, Epstein?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean... Do you really have something about that?
Yeah, well, all we do is just keep talking about it, isn't it? I mean, we just keep talking about it.
Can't we just shut up about that? We just can't
let that go. You know, it's fascinating. Now they're calling in, what's her name? Eileen Maxwell?
Yeah.
The one who's in jail for 20 years?
Yeah.
For sex trafficking with Epstein.
Yeah.
And Congress wants to bring her in for a hearing. And they're going to question her. And it's fascinating. I saw the commentators this morning talking about this, what are they going to do with that? She's been deposed over and over. She's given statements to the prosecutors and whatnot. And I'm thinking, are you kidding? They're going to ask her whether or not there's a list, and she's going to go, no. And they're going to ask, is there any involvement of President Trump in this? And she's going to say, no. And then she's going to be assured of her pardon.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly. Unbelievable.
I'll throw something in also along the same lines of our satisfaction with the current administration. You know, we as Indivisible Vashon are working pretty hard to change the balance of power in Congress. And one of the things that is sort of, I'm a data guy, right? Engineer, analyst. And I'll just point out that in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race this year and the two special sessions elections in Florida to replace congresspeople that Trump put into his cabinet, the electorate swung 10 to 15 percentage points towards the Democrats.
In Florida?
So in Florida and in Wisconsin. 10% in Wisconsin, 15% in Florida, actually.
Wow.
And so, you know, the word is out that, hey, of course, now we have Trump and Abbott, the governor of Texas, planning to redistrict in Texas for the noble reason to get more Republicans in Congress, which should be an interesting thing in the courts, I would imagine. But the point I want to make is if we can persist in getting that 10% swing, the Democrats are going to pick up 5 to 7 seats in the, let's see, if the Dems see a 10% swing in 2026, they're going to pick up 5 to 7 seats in the U.S. Senate and 21 to 22 seats in the U.S. House, if they can get that 10% swing. If they only get 5%, we're going to flip one U.S. Senate seat and pick up 15 U.S. House seats.
Whoa.
Realize that the Republican margin of majority in the House is right now 3 seats.
Right.
So we're talking about if we get even a pretty small shift in the electorate, we're going to get the House back, which is, in my opinion, the best roadblock we can put in front of this current administration. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Get involved. Help make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we got to have that House back.
Well, we always talk about our politics being local. Well, local is about as local as you can get to getting our representatives mm-hmm. back in there.
Mm-hmm. That's it. It's our last chance.
Yeah. Craig, you had a PA.
Yeah, I did. PSA I just wanted to mention, there? Remind people here in the last few minutes of the show that we have one last weekend where you can purchase raffle tickets for the from the Voice of Vashon. We'll be out. I'll be out there this weekend in front of Thriftway selling raffle tickets. This is a chance to win the right to run around, Thriftway for 3 minutes and collect all the food you possibly can. And people have been averaging lately over $2,000 worth of food.
I have a question. Which sections are roped off?
Well, alcohol.
Alcohol and tobacco.
Tobacco and firearms. No, alcohol. And drugs.
Firearms and drugs.
And drugs.
Okay.
But other than that, you know, you can raid the meat department and, you know, or whatever, buy expensive vegetables if you're a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. Cheese. I'd be buying some, getting in on or, all that cheese.
That's right. Yeah. So we'll be out there selling them. And this is to support the Voice of Vashon and our various services, including our emergency alert services.
Which is huge.
It is huge, and it may be coming more important as we see FEMA starting to go away and things like that. So mm-hmm. once again, locally, we try to keep you informed of what's going on in terms of disasters and ferries and whatnot.
Yeah, and hopefully President Trump isn't shutting us down.
Well, I don't think so because we don't have any federal funding.
Well, there is always licensing.
That's right.
Well, there is that.
Yeah,
there
then we have to that. Go to pirate radio.
That's right.
Yeah. Can't wait.
You know, we talk about that. I've talked about that with other individuals about we may be taking the place of public radio and the Voice of America and whatnot. Because now our low-power radio station can be heard live anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Mm-hmm. If you look at Radio Garden, go to radiogarden.com, mm-hmm. and you can click on us, and you can hear us as well as stations in Russia or mm-hmm. wherever. Pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
Pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
And I happen to know that there's people who would be, I think, willing to stand in and make that happen.
So. You bet. Okay, so let's see. What do we got here? Oh, we got just about a minute left. What was I going to? Oh, yeah, I wanted to talk about one quick thing about speed of airliners. We were talking about that. I just saw something written about it. You know that when you're in a jet, you don't talk about miles per hour or knots. You talk about percent of Mach. Mm. And people used to ask me, how fast is that 737? And I'd go, I don't know, 500 miles an hour? Because we don't do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We do a percent. So, for example, a 737 will go 74 to 79% of the speed of sound. And the speed of sound at sea level, dry air, 68 degrees Fahrenheit, is about 767 miles per hour. The higher you go, the slower the speed. Anyway, so percent of Mach is what we use. 757 and 67 is about 0.80, 0.81. 787 is almost 0.9. They're quite fast.
787. What gets hauled around on a 787?
787. Lots of people.
Wow.
That's what the Air India.
Wow.
Yeah. 0.9. Air Force One, 0.92, which is a 747. That thing is fast. And, of course, you get up to the SR-71, and it's 3.82.
How fast is the gold airplane from Dubai or whatever?
It's going to be about 0.92 as well.
Oh.
That 3.82 for the SR-71 is the published top speed.
That is correct.
Oh.
That is correct.
Not the real top speed.
Secret engineer.
I used to work with a guy who said that if you start a right turn over Montana, a 180-degree turn, you'll roll out over Arizona.
Wow. Wow.
There you
give
go.
You some wow. idea. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you should slow down a little bit and make a tight turn.
Yeah, make that turn. Well, hey, we're about out of time here, folks. So just, hey, thanks a lot, guys, for helping me out with our Truman Show today. I really appreciate it. And so for Craig, Amy, Kevin, and in absentia, is that the word? Mm-hmm. Bruce, I'm Truman, and we'll see you all again next week on the Brown Briefly.